Please hold. Your call is important to us, and one of our representatives will answer you as soon as possible. Please stay on the line. Your call will be answered in priority sequence. Next, we cue some really bad music, usually played at a volume much higher than the pre-recorded voice message, and then we wait. Delay is difficult, and nowhere is delay most obvious than when we are on hold, waiting for the answer to a pressing question, and most often with a half dozen other pressing tasks requiring our attention. We live in a fast-paced world, and delay disrupts this. Therefore, delay upsets us. Just as a child will ask, "Are we there yet?" 5 times in 5 minutes, when clearly, no, we are not there yet, which is especially difficult when you've been there before. But imagine when you've never been to where you are going, and you can't with any degree of accuracy predict when you will arrive. But delay disrupts our plans, throws a wrench into an otherwise perfect day. It brings uncertainty and a level of anxiety. And I wonder how the delay of the groom affected those 10 bridesmaids. Of course, you might be asking the question, why are the bridesmaids hanging out waiting for the groom? Shouldn't they be with the bride? And perhaps a brief understanding of ancient wedding customs might be helpful. Weddings, of course, in the time of Jesus were just as big a deal as they are now. An emotional event where two families come together. Guests would assemble at the home of the bride, and there they would be entertained by her parents. And the bridesmaids would keep an eye out for the groom. And when they saw him, they would light torches and go out and greet him. And then the entire procession would travel to the groom's parents' house for the ceremony to occur, and then an extended feast that usually lasted a few days. In our parable today, for some unknown reason, the groom is delayed. And in the process of waiting, all 10 bridesmaids grow tired and they fall asleep. I suppose it's a little like the hurry up and wait mentality which was drilled into me when I served with the Canadian Forces. Be ready and then wait. Except in this instance, the waiting takes so long that they all fall asleep. In telling the parable, Jesus informs us that 5 of the bridesmaids are wise and 5 of them are foolish. Those who are wise brought extra oil, and those who are foolish did not bring enough. And at this point, the parable starts conjuring thoughts of the Boy Scout motto of always be prepared and similar such slogans. But more than anything else, it's going to be a long night for those who are waiting. Now, as the parable goes, when the groom finally shows, everyone jumps up, but the 5 foolish bridesmaids realize they don't have enough oil. And they ask for the oil to be shared, and they are denied. And then they rush off at midnight looking for an open store so that they can buy more oil. And the result is that they are not recognized when they arrived at the closed doors of the banquet. It sounds harsh. And if you are also feeling that way, I believe it arrives at our own fear of being denied entry to the banquet. We're afraid we will arrive and also find the door shut. And we desperately don't want to be like those five foolish bridesmaids. I wonder what might have happened if those five supposedly foolish bridesmaids didn't go off to get more oil. What if they had had the confidence in what they had brought? Might the story have ended differently? Was it fear and uncertainty that drove them to find more? But might they have already had enough? The treasures we store and hoard, well, they are only good for this side of eternity. And there is more than enough light at the banquet. And if we are wondering why those five supposedly wise bridesmaids didn't share their oil, which seems rather unchristian, I guess we could say, remember that this is a parable about what the kingdom of heaven is like. And it was never extra oil that they carried. It was faith and good works. And if only those other five had trusted that perhaps they had done enough, had believed in what the groom represents. What we have is a parable about living with expectant hope, trusting in the one who will come, and placing our faith with him. Christian hope resides in the knowledge that the God who created the world will continue to love the world. This parable cautions against idle readiness, but recognition that the bridegroom might be delayed. We are prepared for the return, but also for the delay. This is the wise disciple. The problem today is that we have stopped waiting. We give little thought to Christ's return. And the predominant culture of the day is not concerned at all with Christ's return. It does not impact the daily walk or factor into the decision-making of the average person outside these doors. In our readings from both Amos and Matthew, people are expecting salvation. In Amos, it's deliverance from rulers and priests who pay lip service to God's commands. And in Matthew, people are looking for freedom from the yoke of Roman oppression. Amos tells us that God is disappointed with the people, that their festivals no longer please God. Instead, Amos tells us that God wants justice to roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. And Matthew reminds us to be ready. Not necessarily vigilant. Remember, all 10 bridesmaids fall asleep. But ready for the hour when the groom comes. Ready for the hour when Christ returns. We don't need to store up treasures, but to ensure that we have placed our trust in the one who calls us and who called creation good. There's a story that someone once asked Martin Luther what he would do if he knew that Jesus was coming again tomorrow. And the supposed response is, "I think I'd go out and plant an apple tree." And I have a quote that I'm quite fond of. It's posted to the wall of my study at home, right above my computer, and so I see it every day. It's attributed to a rugby player named Nelson Henderson, though further research indicates that the quote probably belongs to a farmer from Manitoba with the same name. Either way, the quote reads, "The true meaning of life is to plant trees under whose shade you do not expect to sit." Somewhat like that apple tree Martin Luther spoke of planting. Or perhaps we might liken it to the image that Amos brings us, not standing in the shade of a tree, but under the rush of a waterfall, a constant deluge of God's justice and righteousness. Because this is how God wants us to behave. This is the work we engage in while we wait for the bridegroom. Professor Margaret Odell writes, "Justice and righteousness are Israel's hoped-for salvation, and they have been present all along." The Messiah will come at the right time, which is different from coming at a convenient time or coming on our time when we might like it. But when he comes, he brings the party with him. Thanks be to God for that. Amen.